Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading from John chapter 2. Well, at our wedding, Donna and I had our reception at Glenwood. Glenwood in Kansas City was one of the nicest movie theaters there in town. Now imagine many years ago, before they had all these mechanical reclining chairs here that we have now. Well, they had nice, comfy seats that did recline a little bit. So it was amazing. So you wanted to go there. It was a super huge theater. Now, the thing about being there, it's like I didn't realize that behind the theater, they had a reception hall there. So that's where businesses would come there and have their business meetings there, and they could come out and then go into the theater if they wanted to make a presentation in front of a large audience, that kind of thing. Anyhow, that's where we went, where we had our reception. Now, we needed a large space, which is why we went there, because we had 350 people come to our wedding. Yeah, it was a large number. And you think that's large. My mom, on her own, had 400 people she wanted to invite. Yeah, well, I told her she had to pare that down. And, well, that's another story that we'll go into some other time. Yeah, anyhow, so here at our reception there, we had lots of nice finger foods there, because that's what our intention was. It's just to have a little reception there so we could greet everybody. Well, as we're going there, Don and I are there, we're going on greeting people. Well, the people must have thought, well, they must have skipped lunch or thought they were having an early supper, because they were taking these little finger food plates and just piling up the food. My father-in-law, my brand-new father-in-law, comes over to me and goes, "Hey, you two guys, if you want any food before it runs out, you need to get in line." I'm like, wow, you know, didn't realize that. So here they are. Sure enough, it's food's running out. So we go get in line, get a little bit of food there. And so my father-in-law, well, he's becoming even more nervous as it goes along, because it certainly could be a big cause of embarrassment should we run out. Well, there was another wedding going on at another time, and Jesus was invited. Now, we find that his mother was there, Mary, and it was in this little town called Cana. Now, the fact that it was there, and we don't know for sure, but high likelihood, since Mary was there and Jesus was invited along, well, that meant that it was probably one of her family members. That's who was having the wedding. Well, needless to say, they're there. Jesus got to bring along his disciples as well, and something happened. Now, before we get to that, think about what's going on here. When Scripture there says it was the third day, so maybe you're thinking, well, it's the third day of the week. No, something a little bit different here. On the third day means it was the third day of the wedding. You see, back in the day, weddings were big events, not unlike what we have here. But here, the wedding feast, that lasted 7 days. So it was quite a bit different here. So if you could have one of those kinds of weddings, and if it was a big one, well, it was a big one indeed. So you need to make sure that you were prepared. Prepared for lots of food, for lots of people, for many days. Lots of wine. Lots and lots of wine for lots of people for many days. And then something happens. Mary rushes over to Jesus. They've run out of wine. Jesus replies, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Well, what we find here is a little bit of foreshadowing what's going on. For us, that's easy on this side of the cross. We know that what Jesus is talking about. But the people then, well, they didn't have a clue as to what he was referring to. Well, we all know that his hour that he's speaking of is the hour that was going to take him to the cross. But as he pointed out here, he replied to his mother, "Woman," and not "mom," "mommy," "mama," whatever, but "woman." Well, that was a very pointed response back to her. Because you see, Mary made it very clear that Jesus was going to be the only one who was going to do any saving there at the wedding that day. He and not another, separating her from him. The hour again, well, that was going to come sometime later. Now Mary, classic mom action here, ignores her son. It's like, do whatever he tells you. Really? She doesn't have a clue as to what he can do. But maybe she does. Maybe she has some kind of inkling about Jesus. Nonetheless, she just wants her son to take care of it. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. Now, the 6 stone jars there, and stone is an important feature, actually, because if it was made of stone, then all you have to do is pour water in it to clean it out. That's considered purification, as far as purification purposes are concerned. That's what you had to do. Now, if it was made of clay, then you got some other kind of process to go through. But the water was there because, well, it was for purification purposes. So the Jews there could wash their hands there right before a meal. So you had to have that available, lots of water. And so water there, again, was a symbol for Jewish purification. And the wine, well, that's also a symbol of God's grace and joy and abundance that a person can have in their life. Now Jesus, he's the one who ties these two things together. He ties the water there, being purified. And once being purified, then one would receive God's grace and joy. And Jesus would tie these two things together forever. So they, meaning only the servants, well, they knew what was in the water jars. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. The bridegroom had saved the best for last. And what was the consequence of this sign? Jesus' disciples believed in him. Now that was the first of many signs confirming who Jesus is. How appropriate. But why? Well, why did Jesus come to this earth in the first place? He came to make purification of our sins, to cleanse us as a people. He came to die on the cross for you and me. He came to shed his blood that we might be forgiven. Now, what's so important about that is that there is a feast that awaits us. Our bridegroom, Jesus, is to put on a feast for his bride, the church. The church, that's you and me. We're included in that. You see, back in the day, Isaiah described it this way. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. This great event that's going to take place is in heaven. And our invitation to get there is the faith that you and I have received. We have been purified in the waters of baptism, nurtured along with Christ's body and blood there in the bread and wine and Holy Communion, and fulfilled completely at the feast that's awaiting us in heaven. Now think of Jesus' first miracle here as a sign of God's grace and of his joy for us. And that will be bookended here by the feast in heaven. So in the meantime here, what do we do? Well, like at the wedding, God takes care of the little things, too. God never misses anything on his watch. Well, my father-in-law, well, he was growing ever nervous as he was seeing all the food disappear on that line. People were treating as a buffet. Now, what he had done, he'd seen this before, because my father-in-law, well, years earlier, had been a manager at a buffet restaurant. And he was a very good manager, did well at this restaurant, treated his servers well. They were great. Now, he recognizes that he's going to have an issue here, and so he asked the servers there, could you go back and get the manager, because I'd like to speak with him. Well, servers go back, tell the manager what's going on. And so the manager, she comes out and she sees all the food that's disappearing there. And so she comes up to my father-in-law with a smile on her face. She says, "Hello, Mr. Aaron." He knew her. For you see, the woman who was the manager there used to be one of his employees who was a server many years before. She remembered him fondly. She went up to him and said to him, it's like, "Hey, don't worry about anything. You're going to have plenty of food." She went back out there, scrounged up, make sure that we had plenty of food there for our buffet, as it were, all at no extra charge. He came over and told us the good news. There wasn't going to be any embarrassment for anyone that day. Grace. Grace means undeserved kindness and love. That little bit of grace 34 years ago in Kansas City is going to be like nothing that we're going to see in heaven. You see, that was just a foretaste of the feast to come. When that day comes, there'll be no more fear of running out of anything. Your cup will be full to the brim. Your cup will runneth over. For you've been invited. You have heard of the miracles of Jesus. You knew that he died on the cross for you and rose from the grave, giving you that promise, that hope of everlasting life. Consequently, you, like the disciples, believe in him. And you get nurtured along in the faith when you hear God's word. You also get nurtured along in the faith when you come and receive his body and blood there in the bread and wine. You see, you are ready. But there will be bumps in the road, food running out, health issues, bodies getting older, things that make you nervous about your faith. You might think one day or another, does God really care about me? Does he listen to me? Well, do not let anything separate you from your faith and from your faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let not sin prevail in your life. Don't let that happen either. For remember, you have been purified in your baptisms. And there, along with the bread and wine, you get reassured yet again of that forgiveness and of that promise that you received in your baptisms, that invitation to get to heaven. For you see, you have received God's grace. So make sure you share that grace with others as well, until that one day in which we all sit down with our Savior at that great feast in his kingdom, which shall have no end. That feast, courtesy of our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.